Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. We're glad that you could be here with us today. Glad for the beautiful sunshine outside here to welcome us. And we're actually going to be talking a lot about sunshine today later in the service as well. And I'm looking forward to that. We're grateful. We were just praying here before the service, thanking God for His mercies, which are new every day. And it's in that joy and in that light that we gather this morning. So welcome, special welcome to our guests, our visitors. We're glad that you could be here with us as well. And if you want to sign the guest book, you can do that back in the entryway after the service. If you would like, you can fill out a blue card in your pews there and hand that off to an usher. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better as well. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for specifically during the service, fill out a yellow card in your pew and hand that off to an usher, and they can get that to me as well, and we can pray for that then later. We had just a few announcements that I want to bring to your attention. You can see that there's a full schedule in your bulletin here. We're kind of back up and at them now with our regular schedule of Bible study and kids club and all of that. And so keep those things in mind throughout your week. There's a few different things going on too as far as pictures. We've started our church directory pictures. I just got word that we are a little bit ahead of schedule actually already. They've already started. And so that's great too. Those of you who have your appointments scheduled for after church today, they asked if I would let you know to show up 5 or 10 minutes, even 10 minutes ahead of time, and then they can get you in a little bit quicker too. And maybe I'll just add that if there are any of you who didn't sign up but would like to get into the directory, maybe talk to Abby or Carolyn after the service, and they may very likely be able to fit you in as well, either today or next weekend. So remember that. I also got a note here for any available youth group kids. We're looking for your help after the service today to take down the Christmas tree here after church as well. It's sad to see it go, but Christmas is done, and it makes it special for next time, so we won't keep it up the whole year. Remember again that the regular weekly schedule. I think that's all the announcements that I have. Want to just say a special thank you to those who worked. We had quite a group yesterday putting in a new ceiling in the overflow room with new lights and everything like that. So check that out if you can. The back wall is officially completed as of this week also. And so take a look at that. And I think maybe with the exception of a few very small and minor projects that kind of officially ends our overall sanctuary improvement project. Is that fair to say, buildings and grounds? And so just again, want to thank you so much for all of those of you who helped with different projects getting this updated. We're grateful for how God has put all of that together. I do want to mention also that next week is our annual congregational meeting. And the annual reports are out. They are in your boxes out in the hallway. And so go ahead and get out there after the service and grab those. We were going to mention too, this is the time of year when we kind of are updating our lists of names and people and all that kind of stuff. If you don't have a box out there but would like one, talk to Emma or myself after the service, and we can make sure and get you a box. Also, if you don't have a box but would like an annual report, there are extras on the table out in the hallway also, so feel free to grab that. And keep in mind to stick around next Sunday after church, if you're at all able, for the annual meeting. There's going to be some significant discussions happening, especially regarding some of the extra excess funds that we have and how those are going to be used. Maybe actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, were we going to give an update as to a plan for how we were going to use that or not? For them to be thinking about beforehand or not? And you can say no. We can. Maybe could we do that? Let's do that. And just so that you all know, to be praying for it and to come to the meeting prepared as to what we're going to be looking for. So I'll just call on Nathaniel real quick if that's okay. Yes, I'll try to help you too.
So we did receive a number of suggestions and comments about the excess funds that we have. It's roughly about $40,000 that we're going to be looking at distributing in some way over through the decisions made at the congregational meeting next week. As we took some of the comments and feedback from you, we have at this point where our plan as a council is to prepare a few different motions that we will be bringing to the floor to distribute the money to the Wilderness Bible Camp for some, and this would be one of them, for a building project that they have going on. They're looking at putting up a new building on the grounds there. We will also be bringing a motion at this point, our plans to bring a motion to give some money to the schools for a renovation project that they've got going on for the women's dorm, and that would be through the WMS, or the National WMS Group. And then we also are going to be making a suggestion or a motion to do some additional work on the church building here to the front entryway. We've had some issues with, especially in the wintertime, we have some issues with snow and ice and leakage in that area. So that would be the third area that we will be bringing a motion on. These are just motions that we're going to be bringing. We will encourage discussion. If they don't pass, we will be looking for other motions from the floor or amendments to those. So please be in prayer for that. And again, you know, it's God's blessings upon our church through you that we have these additional funds to distribute. And just please be in prayer for that over the next week.
Yeah, thanks, Nathaniel. A mark of a good president when the crazy pastor calls on him to do an impromptu thing like that, and he does very well with it. So thank you for that. Just one other addition, too. We do have a smaller amount that we did vote to bring as another motion, a smaller amount to the ARC down in Osceola also to help with some of their financial needs, too. So I think that's that. And I think that's all the announcements I have. So are there any others that need to be made that I missed? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, Holy, 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 number 134.
You may be seated. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth."
Songs of love is great. The love of John 8, verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light that leads to life.
In the darkness of sin, the light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is shining for thee, sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. He dwells in darkness with sin-minded eyes. The light of the world is Oh, watch at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see.
Christ is all and in all. Colossians 3:11.
My strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as the precious jewel, for to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
You are my all in all.
This time I would direct your attention to the screen. You can also find the Confession of Sins printed in your bulletin. This is a time for you now to spend in prayer with the Lord, talking with Him, confessing your sins, and then hearing from His Word the good news, the gospel, that in fact He does forgive your sins. And so I'd encourage you to follow along, to take part in this service in your words and also in your heart. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to read for you this morning from John chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. This is the episode of when Jesus came across the Pharisees who were about to stone the prostitute to death. And it says, at the end of the episode, Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It is my joy and my privilege to declare to you that in Jesus, the light of the world, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there is mercy for your sins, where He forgives you. What a joy, what a glory that is. He is the light that shines in the darkness. We thank Him, we praise Him for that today. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Kurt Tweet to read our scripture.
The first reading for today is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. Please stand as we read God's word. Reading from Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Second reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew 3, beginning with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
Let's confess our faith together, saying, "This is what we believe," using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This time I'm going to call on the ushers to wait upon us.
We give thee but thine own, whate'er that gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen.
Father, thank you for these gifts. This is a Sunday when we remember two in particular, the wise men who brought gifts to you, God, but they walked away receiving a gift far greater than anything they could ever have hoped or imagined, your love, your grace, your mercy. God, thank you for delivering to us your good gifts. I pray that you would use these gifts for your kingdom's work. Help us to be faithful stewards of all that you give to us. We pray in your name. Amen. We do have a children's message, so I'll call on the kiddos to come on up here at this time. All right, come on up here. Thanks for coming, you guys. I'm glad to see all of you. Here we've got a few more. All right, as everyone's coming up, I want you to put your hands right here. What can you feel? Can you feel anything in there? I hope you can. What can you feel in there? Or what are you supposed to feel in there? Your heart, right? And it goes, it beats, it goes boom, 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 right? Or maybe it's faster, or maybe it's slower, right? Yeah, we have hearts, and do we know what shape hearts are? They're kind of a circle. Yeah, sometimes we think they're like this, right? But actually, I brought a picture of a heart up, and this is about the size. Maybe if you guys want to kind of, can you all scoot a little bit closer together here so we're not so spread out? Then you can see a little bit better too. All right, so this is a picture of a real heart, okay? And this is about the size of my heart. They say it's about the size of your fist. So if everyone makes a fist, okay, and you look at it, that's about how big your heart is right now, okay? So we put my fist on here, that's about how big. So if I put this here, that's about how big my heart is. All right, so that's what we talk about when we talk about heart, and we need our hearts to live, right? What do our hearts do? Pump blood to everywhere in our bodies, okay? We need that. Now, what I want to ask you today is, do we ever use the word heart to describe something else besides this? What do you think? Like love? Yeah, we use hearts. We say like our hearts love, or we say that maybe if you don't really care about something, you say, well, my heart's not really in it. Or maybe when you get older, have you ever heard of like girls saying like, I gave my heart to my boyfriend or something weird like that, okay? Yeah, things like that. Or people say, that person has a really big heart. Okay, they have a really big heart. And what that means is they're like really loving, just like Magnus says, okay? They love a lot of people. They love to show that love. They have a really big heart. Actually, in the Bible, the verses that I'm going to read here in a little bit up there, they talk about a big heart. It says, you shall see and be radiant, and it says your heart shall thrill and exult. But a real way of saying that is your heart will throb and swell with joy, okay? So it says that your heart is going to swell with joy. So do you think it means that this heart will get bigger? It'll swell, it'll get bigger? No, that's not necessarily what it's talking about. But it's saying that your heart is going to swell with joy. And what that means is that you are really, 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 really happy or joyful. Okay? So what do you think it's talking about? When the Bible says your heart is going to swell with joy, that you're going to be really, really, really happy about something, what do you think it would be that would make us so happy? Jesus came. That's exactly right, Annika. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Who's the light? Jesus, right? Jesus is the light. And it says, arise and shine, your light has come. Your hearts will swell with joy. And like I actually mentioned it in our prayer, we've got the wise men. Can you guys see the wise men up there? On our little nativity scene, there's some wise men up there. What did the wise men bring when they came to visit Jesus? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, okay? Three very expensive gifts, all right? But when the wise men left, they left with something much more expensive, something much more rich and wealthy. They left with the love of Jesus, and their hearts swelled with joy. Okay, because Jesus, the light of the world, had come. And so they left, even though they gave Jesus some really rich gifts, they left even richer. Did you guys know that you're rich? Did you know you're rich? Yeah. And did you know that we pray when we come to church that we'll leave here even richer? How do we leave here richer than when we came? Because we learn about God. That's exactly right. And the more we learn about God and grow in Him and in His love and we hear about His grace, okay, our heart swells and we get richer. We grow richer in His grace, all right? So remember that today, all right, that God's grace is a beautiful thing and it makes us really, really, really happy. All right, you can go and sit down. Thanks for coming up. before the message, we're going to sing a hymn. It's hymn number 53, As With Gladness, Men of Old. And just very quickly, this hymn and then the one after the sermon, I want to mention too, they are hymns that maybe aren't quite as familiar. I was really blessed this week looking at some of these hymns that are kind of reserved for what we call Epiphany season, which is today and for a few weeks, but especially today we're going to be looking at it. And even though you may not know these hymns quite as well, pay attention to the words. They are beautiful and they are rich and deep with meaning. And so let's sing this one first here, number 53, As With Gladness, Men of Old. We're in the book of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 for you. I would ask, as I read these verses, if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. You've heard a few of the phrases already, but I'm going to read them again here now for you as well. Isaiah 60, reading verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you, your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, your heart shall thrill and exult, or throb and expand, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Father, these are your words. I am so grateful to you today for these words, for the Bible, for all of your word, all of Scripture. But tonight as we, or this morning as we focus on these words, Lord, I pray that you would set them apart in our hearts as true, gracious, glorious, beautiful truth, radiant, because you, O God, are radiant. You are beautiful. You are bright. You are the light of the world. I pray your blessing upon this time. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I have a picture up here, courtesy of one of our members, Abby Anderson, who also happens to be taking our church directory pictures. So this is not meant to be a plug for you to go and get your picture taken, but do that, all right? This is a picture, a scene that greeted those of you, those of us who were out and about just after sunrise this last Tuesday morning. Light has been on my mind this week. Not only because we have new light, like I mentioned earlier, in our overflow room now, and not only because this text speaks about light, but also because, and I think I've mentioned this to you, a few of you this week, this is my second winter now back in the area of the upper Midwest here, after six winters in Pennsylvania and Michigan. And one of the differences is that winters in those areas see much less light. Pennsylvania and Michigan are generally warmer in the winter, which is nice, but they are also darker. You can go weeks there without seeing the sun in the winter, and it makes a difference. Some of you remember a guy by the name of James Molstrie. He was an NDSU running back and son of Pastor David Molstrie, who was the pastor here. I interned under James for a year when I was in Pennsylvania. And I remember his wife, Kristen, commenting a few times how much she missed winters here. Can you imagine that? Think about that for just a second, okay? Someone missing a cold week like what we just had. But when you don't see the sun for weeks, it's tough on a person. Where I was in Michigan was hard for the same reason, but also there, sunrise comes very late this time of year, after 8:30. And when the sun isn't popping through the clouds, it's even worse. I usually myself have no problem being up at 6:30 or 7 without an alarm, but my first winter up there, I was rolling over in bed after 8 wondering why it's still dark out and why I felt so lethargic with no desire to even get out of bed. It took some adjusting. And so even though the bright sun this time of year usually means bitter cold, it also means we get to see pictures like this. And we get to see the sun, and that's a good thing. It's healthy for us. The Bible speaks of God's salvation in terms of light. And in particular, the person and work of Jesus. In Luke 1, before Jesus was born, Zechariah described the coming salvation of God in this way. He was talking about the tender mercy of God. Listen to this. Whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. In John 1, it talks about the light of Jesus shining in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It says, the Word God became flesh and dwelt among us, and in Jesus we see his glory. John 8:12, I read it earlier. Jesus says, I myself am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isaiah 60 is one of the prophecies that carries what we call a double fulfillment. Isaiah had already prophesied about the coming darkness of exile for the nation of Israel. And in chapter 60 now, Isaiah is saying that after exile, the light of deliverance and salvation will come. But there's greater fulfillment here, and that is found in the coming of Jesus then, the light of the world. The first phrase in our text is stunningly beautiful. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Now, common sense teaches us that light, color, okay, is more brilliant when it is contrasted with darkness. And here it is no different. There's a stark change in these words compared to what was said in chapter 59. One writer calls chapter 59 dull, gloomy, and depressing. Chapter 59 is a dark chapter, and it's dark because of sin, namely the sins of the people. Verse 2 in chapter 59 says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you." The face of God that shines light into dark places. You know, I pray that blessing for us every week. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Sin hides that. God cannot have sin in his presence. On the cross, when Jesus bore our sins, God essentially turned his face away when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Sin drives a wedge of separation between mankind and God. And God is light, 1 John says. Sin is darkness. It leads to darkness. For the Israelites, the list was long in chapter 59. Here is some of it. "Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity," it says. "Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. Perversion of justice, mischief, deeds of violence, shedding innocent blood, evil thoughts, desolation, destruction, absence of peace, denying the Lord." At one point in verse 9, it says, "We hope for light and behold darkness and for brightness, but we walk in gloom." That's what sin does. It drives a wedge and it causes separation and it leads to darkness. It is darkness. You may relate to things on that list, chapter 59, maybe not. But you know darkness, don't you? The darkness of sin, guilt, shame, the separation that it causes, the hurt, the destructive nature of it. Do you know the darkness of loneliness? Of being looked down on by others? Do you know the darkness of grief from the death of a loved one? We know darkness, and we know it all too well. Because we live in a world that is ruled by this darkness. There is a devil whose sinister work is to seek only to steal and kill and destroy. We ourselves are born into sin, and it's displeasing to the Lord. He doesn't like it. It's not right. There are some who point to this darkness as evidence that God either doesn't exist or doesn't care. I find it fascinating that that mentality is so common today and that it's nothing new. Isaiah talks about it, actually, in Isaiah chapter 59. When people are surrounded by this darkness, the common reaction is, God must not care. Which is so interesting in that kind of mentality, they are identifying the reality of a separation. They know darkness isn't right. They know there is a problem. They know there's something else, something better. And the natural reaction then is to identify that problem, that separation, that difference within the relationship between God and man. My life is dark, I'm suffering, I'm hurting, I'm sinning. There's something wrong between God and man. But the natural tendency is to say the fault lies with God. It's your fault, God, that there's a problem here. You don't care. Or maybe you aren't as strong as you thought you, as you say you are. Or maybe you don't exist. Isaiah put it this way. To refute that idea, in verse 1 of chapter 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That's the accusation that was out there. Is God's hand shortened? Is it as long? Is it as strong as we thought it was? Maybe he's not able to save us. Maybe his ear is dull, it says, that he cannot hear us. Maybe there's a problem with God when life is dark. Friends, it's not that God's hand isn't strong enough. It's not that he doesn't hear our cries. The problem isn't with him. It's with us. With this sinful nature, with this sinful and broken world, and God doesn't like it. It's not right. But look at what it says. In verse 16 of chapter 59, if you have your Bibles open, that arm that you wonder if it's strong enough, that arm, it says there, brought salvation. Verse 20, a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression. And then that phrase, arise, shine, your light has come. It's the words of Jesus to the prostitute that I read earlier. Does no one condemn you? Neither do I. Arise, go, sin no more. It's the words of Jesus to the paralyzed man in Mark 2. I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And in that episode, it's not even that was the main point. He did that because the people were doubting his authority to forgive sins. He healed that man, and it's great, but he did it to show the people and you that his word has authority, including his word that says, I forgive your sins. And so it's okay to say that the problem is with us. It's okay to say that the problem is with this world that is broken, that is filled and ruled by darkness, because that's honest. And when we go before God and confess and say, I am sinful, I've sinned, forgive me. The word of God says to you, I forgive your sins. It's the words of Jesus to the dead man in Luke 7. Young man, I say to you, arise. This God, the God, has authority even over the darkest of dark, death itself, which is the ultimate consequence of sin. Imagine for a moment the beauty of the kind of light that pierces the darkness of death. Arise. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. This was the great hope for the Israelites in bondage, and it came to pass. They were released from exile to go home and rebuild their city. It is the great hope that is found in the Messiah who came to this earth. The light has come. The Word became flesh. God dwelt among men. We saw his glory. We see God face to face in Jesus. God looks at us in Jesus as if we never sinned. Darkness melts away and gives way to the radiant beauty of the spotless Lamb of God, the one who came and walked through the darkest valley and made it through so that you could too. This is that light, friends. It's the light that has come. It's the light of the world. It's the Savior. It's the Messiah who came to release you from bondage and exile and bring hope and joy and peace. Nations shall come to your light. Kings, to the brightness of your rising, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, it says. They come to you. This is a light, Jesus, that draws people to himself, nations and kings. That's why our friends, or our message to our friends must always be Jesus. You maybe know people who are walking in darkness, enslaved by whatever, dead in their trespasses and sins. It's a very dark darkness. And when it's all said and done, that's not a darkness that you can pierce. But show them Jesus. Keep showing them Jesus, the light of the world, the light that pierces the darkness. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Okay, what is that light that we shine before others so that they would become Christians too? Is it our good works? You know, sometimes that verse gets misinterpreted a bit. It does not say, okay, let me be clear here. Let your light shine by your good works, okay? As if good works were the battery giving power to this light. Good works don't produce the light that shines in you. Instead, Jesus says, let your light shine, let me shine, the light of the world, show people me so that when they see your good works, they glorify God the Father. Show people Jesus, show people the light of the world so that people see your good works in the light of Jesus then as simply fruits of this faith in Jesus, and that spurs people then to give God the glory. Look at this light. Look at what this light does. It brings new life from the darkness of sin, from the darkness of death, spiritual death, because you and I who are Christians, we say that we have new life. We've been buried with Christ through baptism. We've been raised with him in his resurrection. He brought us from death to life. This light that shines in the dark places has brought us from the darkness of sin and death to the light of life. Show them Jesus. And they see that you are a new person, bearing fruit. Praise God. And that light, Christ, draws people to faith from all corners of the world, from the sea, it says, the wealth of nations, from the east, Midian and Ephah, verse 6, and from the south, Sheba, gold and frankincense. There is a prophecy of those wise men coming from afar, being drawn by the star, by the light of the world. This light draws nations to itself. And that's where I want to close this morning. Traditionally, the Christmas season ends on a day that we call Epiphany. I mentioned that a little bit ago. 12 days after Christmas, it was Friday 2 days ago. And traditionally, the day of Epiphany, and maybe the Sunday after, is designed to look at those wise men who followed that star and came from a long way away, from a dark place, and found the light of the world that was drawing them there. And we call it Epiphany, okay? We don't use that word very often. People will sometimes say, I had an epiphany, okay? And what that means is that they had a bright idea or a realization. In my mind, the picture there is of the light bulb turning on, right? Aha! I see now. That's an epiphany. The light came to the Israelites. When God delivered them from captivity, the light came to the wise men. They saw Jesus for who he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The light, friends, comes to you. Do you see it? It's beautiful. It's Jesus. He has washed the stain of my sins away and the darkness that clouds my vision. And I see him for who he is, the Savior of the world, the Savior of my life. He's given me new life where there was none before, only darkness and death. And I arise, for this light has come. And that light, Jesus, shines in me and through me for the world to see, so that they see Jesus, they see the life that he brings, and the nations gather to him to praise his name. That's the end of verse 6. Verse 5 describes what this does. Said it with the kids. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. Or literally the Hebrew there. Your heart shall throb and swell with joy. Why? They said it best. Jesus came. It's pretty simple. Your heart shall swell with joy because when Jesus came and took away our sins, when the light came, we received a gift that money cannot buy. A gift so big and so good that it lasts forever. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Amen. Let's close. Let's sing this hymn together. Number 57, Christ, whose glory fills the skies. Number 57. Lord, that's our prayer. Display more of yourself in us. Shine more of yourself. Let your light shine in us more and more, that people may see you and that they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. God, I thank you for coming. I thank you for the light of the world that shines into dark places, that gives us hope as we walk through this dark world, that brings light on dark days. It is only you that can do that. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for being so extravagant with us and loving us in such a way as to give us that hope. We love you so much for it, dear Lord. I pray for each person here. I pray if there is anyone here who is walking in darkness, who is refusing to let that light come into their hearts, Lord, I pray that you would bring them today to repentance and to faith. convicting them of sin, showing them that you, God, are the Savior of the world. You are their Savior. You came to save them, to give them life. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't be here with us today as well. I pray for those who maybe are suffering from various illnesses, Lord, or whatever else it might be. I pray, God, that you would be near to them, that you would comfort them, give them peace today. I pray for our missionaries scattered all across the globe. Bless them in a special way. Watch over, protect, and keep them safe. Father, we thank you so much for this congregation. And as I think of our annual meeting next week already, and sometimes the business of the church can get to be mundane and tedious at times, but Lord, we are here ultimately to proclaim the gospel, and that's our business, and we're so happy to be a part of that. And I pray, God, that as we go about that work, that you would draw us together, that you would unite us. I pray that your will would be done in some of the decisions that are going to be made. Lord, I pray for those who maybe are considering serving on different committees and that you would lead and guide them as well. Lord, I pray for each of us, wherever you would have us to serve, whether it be on a committee or not, that you would continue to strengthen us for that task here at church, but Lord, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, wherever you would call us, wherever you would see us serve you, Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn, to see, to show people you. That the world would know that you, God, have come, the light of the world. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive God's benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.